In a very tense scene in the astronaut movie The Right Stuff, Mrs. Gus Grissom, wife of the Mercury astronaut, suddenly realizes that she isn't going to get a personal thank you from the President of the United States or the First Lady after her husband went up in space.
Oh, all those years of test flying, and all those times I waited, and all those times that you weren't there. The military promised. Look, I am finally Mrs. Honorable Astronaut. But they are treating me like I'm Honorable Mrs. Squirmin' Hatchblower.
I did not do anything wrong! The hatch just blew! It was a glitch! It was a technical malfunction! Why in hell would anyone believe me?
They owe you. But they owe me, too.
What did the space program and the military owe the astronauts from Mercury, Gemini, Apollo, and beyond? What was owed to the wives of those astronauts, the families on the front lines of America's national mission back in the 1960s? That bit of untold history is the subject of a new ABC series that premiered last night. It's called The Astronaut Wives Club.
You promised the press a comment. Louise. Louise.
Alan can never know I was scared. No one can.
They won't? Let me handle the reporters.
No, I can do it.
The series comes from a book by former New York Times journalist Lily Capel, who interviewed all of the real first ladies of space to write her fictionalized account. Capel dropped herself into a world of 60s fashions and hokey housewife stand-by-your-man morality and tough women orbiting around some very special Mad Men space travelers, women who were happy to give Lily Capel a piece of their mind about what they had endured way back when. Even Mrs. Gus Grissom.
That was sort of the wives' prize early on in the Mercury program, that they were going to go to the White House, you know, to Camelot and meet Jackie. And Betty was one of the first wives I actually sat down with in Houston and got to interview. And I asked her about that moment, and she, you know, she remembered it.
I bet. And that's just a tip of the iceberg of the kind of humiliation and very backseat that these women had to quietly sit in while their husbands both risked their lives and were gone most of the time.
Well, they were in the back seat sort of emotionally because they weren't able to show the incredible roller coaster ride that they were going through. They felt that they had to act, as one of the wives put it. She came up with a motto for them. This was Reen Carpenter, who was blonde and vivacious. She was sort of the opposite of Betty, who was more of the country mouse Hoosier, who had a very hard time with the press. But she said, happy, proud, and thrilled. That's what America demanded of these women, because going into space wasn't only about beating the Soviets. It was also a propaganda mission, and it was outer space, apple pie, baseball, and the women had to be that perfect specimen of an American housewife, you know, when it was its hardest, I think, to fulfill back then.
Great fashions in this show, that's for sure. And as I was looking at old clips of The Right Stuff, you know, all those wives dressed up like Jackie, and you know, it really just teleports you right back to the early 60s. I mean, you made the comparison to Mad Men, but it seems to me this is more of a piece of real history here than even Mad Men.
Oh, absolutely it is. I mean, what's so amazing is that for 50 years, no one told this story. And when I first started interviewing the women, and they're scattered around the country like moon rocks, I interviewed over 30 of them for the book and would go into their homes. I was sitting across from Joe Shura, who was married to Wally, one of the Mercury astronauts. And I said, Joe, with Norman Mailer, with Tom Wolfe coming into your homes, sitting in your living rooms, interviewing your husbands, how was the wives' story never written? And she said, we would go and hide. It was sort of a joke, but it also rang true. The women felt acutely the pressure. If they said anything that reflected badly on their husbands, that they might miss a space flight. During the Gemini program, Marilyn Lovell, who is married to Jim Lovell, who, of course, everyone knows from the Tom Hanks movie, in Apollo 13, she was pregnant when Jim was about to get named for a Gemini flight, and she actually hid her pregnancy from her husband for several months. And when he finally found out and asked her if she was pregnant, yes, she said. And she said, you know, sorry, I thought that if, you know, NASA found out, you might not get the flight. And he said, good idea. Let's keep it under wraps for a little longer.
Oh, God, you are the perfect person to ask a question I've always wanted to ask. You may know the answer to this. That scene in Apollo 13 where she loses her wedding ring in the shower, is that true?
It is true.
Really?
Yes. And Marilyn sort of reenacted the whole story as I was sitting across from her in her Lake Forest home. I'm also from Chicago, and Marilyn and I had a wonderful rapport. But that is true. And many of those moments in the movie are, Marilyn said to me, she just felt like she was in a shell during that whole mission. She felt so acutely that she had to protect her family from the media. The women really were like America's first reality stars. They are military wives. They were living ordinary lives before their husbands become astronauts. But all of a sudden, their lives are completely turned inside out. And so they were really unusual in that they tried to keep their families very down to earth, even when there were the media circus out on the lawn constantly. But Marilyn said it wasn't until Jim splashed down and the Nixons flew the wives out on Air Force One to go meet their husbands in the Pacific that she realized that the whole world had sort of been praying with her.
You asked the question of some of these astronaut wives. Tom Wolfe interviewed you. Norman Mailer interviewed you. How come the story of the women didn't come out? As you were asking that question, as you were repeating that, I thought to myself, yeah, Tom Wolfe and Norman Mailer, you have your answer. Particularly
right.
Mailer.
Yeah, you know, the women were sort of like a little garnish of parsley here and there. But, you know, that's what made it so much fun to tell this story, to completely invert sort of the history. And here we have this big slice of American history pie that was somehow left out. There were just so many wonderful things about this story in the world. Like all of the families lived in the space burbs in Houston outside of NASA's operations. And journalists at the time called it Togethersville. It was almost something like out of the Stepford Wives. And Annie and John Glenn lived next to Reen and Scott Carpenter. And Betty and Gus Grissom lived next to Joe and Wally Schura. A little Jetson swath of Texas, you know, and it was big hair and big ambitions, and also just sort of the unique loneliness of going into space. I mean, the men had their sort of spiritual transformations, and then what the women were going through back at home. They were essentially single mothers during the week. As soon as their husbands were named astronauts, they become sort of human supermen, literally, and they're spending their weeks at Cape Canaveral and flying these hot T-38s that are sort of Corvettes of the sky between the Houston space burbs in Florida. Many of them were leading sort of second lives. They were such rock stars. They stay at the Holiday Inn for a dollar a night. They drive these hot Corvettes. They have groupies, the dreaded groupies, who were known as the Cape Cookies.
Lily Coppell is author of The Astronaut Wives Club. The ABC series premiered last night. Thanks so much.
Thank you.
On Notes from America, we have conversations with people across the country about how we can truly become the nation that we claim to be. Each week, we talk about race, our politics, education, relationships, usually all of them, because everything's connected. And you, our listeners, are at the center of those conversations. I'm Kai Wright. Join me on Notes from America, wherever you get your podcasts.